Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, it's been good this morning. Are you alive? Are you well? Well, then shout to the Lord. Give him his word. Yes, Lord, we're alive and well. Alive and well. Today's a very special day for us. We have our Veterans Day celebration and honor, and we want to make sure that we give honor to whom honor is due, and it certainly is due to our vets. But right before we get into that, I want to share something with you concerning this past week and the election and all of that. We've really been praying about this because there's a lot of things that's going on, still going on, and the church needs to be ready. The church needs to be prepared. The church needs to do what she's supposed to do in the midst of all of this. You know, it's not about either man. It is about him. And if we lose sight of that, we've lost sight of our journey and our destination of where we're headed. So we want to make sure that we keep our focus upon him. But I want to just read this. This is written by me. And I wrote it down so it could keep me focused. How many of you know that we just need to stay focused on what we want to say? This being the year of the mouth, the decade of the mouth being spoken, but yet this year is the one, 5781, and the one is silent, so, which means sometimes our mouth needs to be silent, and sometimes it needs to be profoundly bold. Amen. But I want to read this, so I want you to listen to my heart as through these words. This past election week, Vice President Joe Biden was awarded the position of being president-elect. While ballots are still being counted, some have concerns about the legitimacy of legality of some of the ballots and concerns of laws being broken during the process. Over the next few weeks, now you need to hear me, over the next few weeks, legal challenges like lawsuits and court hearings are expected to happen over these concerns. Both the lawsuits and the court hearings, of which both are allowed to take place by the Constitution that's created in our republic. No matter who wins, our election process must always have integrity and fairness while being protected from fraud and from corruption. And we need to, right now, it's more about that than it is the men. It really is. Remember, the news media, the news networks like Fox, CNN, MSNBC, Associated Press, nor big tech companies like Facebook, Google, or Twitter, they do not decide who becomes president. We have a constitution and a process for that. In the 12th Amendment of our Constitution after Election Day, which ours this year was November the 3rd, each state's chief election official will certify the election results in their state. Then, after all that's done, then on December the 14th, electors will cast their electoral vote based on the certified election results in their state. Vote certifications will be sent to the Capitol for House and Senate to meet in a joint session of Congress on January the 6th. They will formally count and sign off on the results of electoral votes as they are read in the presence of all the members of the House and all the members of the Senate. Then, on January the 20th, the president-elect is inaugurated and officially becomes the president of the United States of America. So that's some of our process. And you may say, well, Pastor, why are you bringing this up? Well, here's why. I am not here today to be an advocate for either political party or platform. I'm here today as your pastor. And I'm here to tell you that I want to encourage you to allow this constitutional and judicial process to happen without becoming judgmental. Let it happen. Do not become judgmental. Let this process happen It's constitutional. It's judicial. It's set in place by our forefathers. Let it happen. Do not, without becoming judgmental. I also want to warn you that during these next few weeks, the enemy will try to divide and defeat us even more so through a political spirit. The political spirit does not want the presence of the Lord to be seen nor heard. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. It's brought to ruin. Every city and house divided against itself will not stand. That is the word of the Lord. We cannot let this divide us. We cannot let it separate us from who we are and separate us from Him and separate us from one another. Amen. The enemy has planned also to steal, kill, and destroy the testimony of Christ in our lives. He wants to steal it, kill it, and actually destroy the testimony of Jesus in my life. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. No matter what else happens over these next few weeks, do not let that happen to you nor me. We are the body of Christ. We are to remain faithful to Jesus. We should encourage one another. Be kind to one another, be gracious to one another, and loving to one another. We should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. Notice that word, endeavor. It says, work hard at it. Work hard at keeping the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of peace. Guard yourself against cold love that comes by being offended. Do not be offended. If you start becoming offended, start becoming judgmental, your love is going to wane cold. It's going to be cold. And you will not be able to fervently love one another, much less those that don't know Jesus. Do you believe Christ is the only answer for all things, including this nation?
Amen.
Say it again.
Yes.
One more time.
Then
let His life be lived through you and I. Paul said it this way: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. Stay focused over these next few weeks, over these next several weeks. It might be a few months, couple of months. Stay focused on Him. And if you have to turn that friend off that's above the mantle, turn it off. Let him just go away. I advise you sometimes don't get on Facebook. You've got reading all this stuff. Next thing you know, you're just all agitated. No, you know, it's not worth it. The bond of peace, the glue of peace, is you keeping the unity, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen. No matter who wins, no matter what the final tally is, no matter what happens, He is still King. He is still on the throne, and He is still the Lord of Lords, the God of all gods, and He is our Savior. Amen. Amen. All right. What about the rest of us? Somebody say that? Okay, we'll have copies of it. You know, I went to the Lord over all this, and the whole thing about it is all of us have political views. All of us have that, but we should never allow our political views to overshadow. Listen to me, to overshadow the things of God. And the views of God and the views of the kingdom. Do you hear me? As we said last week, as you and I begin to say what He's saying, our words will become spirit. And the presence of God will be available for people as an option to choose. But if our words are just political and just mere words of men, then we will offer them no other option than what they already have. We got to make a difference in who we are and what we say. And also remember this, and I think it was Bill Johnson said this one time. He said, whatever overshadows you will be the shadow that you cast forth. So if it's the presence of God that is overshadowing you, it'll be the presence of God that will be in your shadow. If the political views and the worldly views are overshadowing you, then your shadow is going to cast, listen to me, your shadow is going to cast those same views. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Is everybody okay?
Yeah.
Give God praise then. Amen. Amen. Well, today is Veterans Day. We're going to celebrate it. We're going to ask all the guys and gals that are been part of the military. You've served. I'd like for you to stand up, and I'd like for you to come forward. Listen, I know we have these things of 6 feet. Just do what pleases you, okay? So I'd like for you guys to come on up as we honor you today. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. If you don't mind, I'd like for you guys, you'd be seated, and I'd like for you veterans to be able to turn to the screen. We have a video we want to show you. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I'm going to introduce someone who's going to be sharing with us, William Elliott. There he is. served this country and the United States Navy for over 18 years and as a Navy hospital corpsman. Most of his service was connected with the United States Marine Corps, and I'll probably let him share a little bit more of that. But welcome with me, one of your veterans here, William Elliott.
Hard to wear this hat. It says Doc. I don't feel like a Doc, but the Marines call me Doc. So I was in the Navy, as some of you don't know or may do. The Marine Corps don't have their own medical department, so the Navy furnishes it for them. That would have been me. Could you roll that? But I want to tell y'all who I really am.
I pop by the sailor man. I pop by the sailor man. I strong to the finish, cause I eat my spinach. I pop by the sailor man.
So when I was a child, this is who I wanted to be, Popeye. And I want to thank my wife for making me wear this shirt. So I always told my daddy, I said, I want spinach. I want spinach like Popeye. I want to grow up and be strong like Popeye. Well, he knew I wouldn't eat this stuff. So he got me a can of fruit cocktail. I was 15 years old before I knew what spinach was. I thought fruit cocktail was spinach. Well, anyway, so I joined the Navy. I'll skip a whole bunch of stuff, but I'll go straight to where I joined the Navy. I went to boot camp in Florida, and I wanted to be a nurse. I had gone to college and all, and I messed up there and didn't study and do what I was supposed to. I'm speaking to young people today, younger men, younger women. Just listen to some of my examples. So I didn't do what I was supposed to, so I wound up in the Navy because I wanted to be in the medical field. I wanted to be a nurse. I figured, well, they'll send me to Norfolk, and I'll be a nurse up there in Norfolk at the Naval Hospital. They sent me to California. So I went to I was in California, and they sent me to the Marine Corps Field Med School. Where I learned to be a Marine, that wasn't fun because I wanted to be on a boat. So I thought, well, I want to get back to the East Coast, so I'll put in for Camp Lejeune, and I can get back to, they sent me to Okinawa, Japan. So, but then I did get to ride a few boats around with the Marines and around in the Pacific Southwest. So I came back to Camp Lejeune, finally got back to Camp Lejeune, finished my time, got out, drove out the gate, said, I'll dig ditches before I do that again. Those ditches are tough. I'm telling you, digging ditches is tough. But I met my wonderful wife after that. And how many military wives do we have in here? Besides her, there's a few. So they don't get recognized too much. So I want to recognize the military wife because they are the backbone. Amen. So, I stayed in the Navy. We're living in Portsmouth, Virginia, in Chesapeake, Virginia. Everything's going great. I'm making rate. I became a first class, E6. 1989, what happened? Iraq. Chief calls me in the office, says, well, we've got to send somebody to the Marine Corps to furnish a corpsman. Billy Joe Bob here, he's having marriage problems. John Elton here, he's got a drinking problem. Floyd over here, well, he's got money issues. You've been doing really good. I'm thinking, well, thanks. That really makes sense. I really work for the Lord and do what I'm saying. They're going to send me to war? Okay. 3 days later, I was in Camp Lejeune again with a backpack on. Running around the Marine Corps. I figured out real quick, though, to hang out with the gunny sergeants because you could ride their Jeep. And that worked a lot better. So, anyway, I'm down there at Camp Lejeune. It's right there at Christmas time, a couple of weeks before Christmas. Said my goodbyes to Charlotte and the family. And we got to come home on Christmas Eve. We didn't know when we were going, but we had like a week or so. So I'm coming home, I caught a ride with the chief to coming home. He's driving real fast, going through Little Washington, passing on the double yellow line, speeding, and the policeman stops us, takes us to jail. on Christmas Eve. We're in uniform. I'm like, what is going on here in this country? What is happening? I couldn't believe it because he was going so fast and yada, yada, yada. Well, anyway, so the guy calls the master and he says, well, just let him go. Just let him mail it in. It's Christmas Eve. The military let him go. So he did. I'm like, oh, blessed and highly favored. Thank you, Lord. I get home. My wife had put my clothes in the attic. Didn't have, because I was in a uniform. I'm like, what? So, anyway, so we had to say goodbye again. December the 31st, New Year's Eve, I'm landing on the tarmac in Saudi Arabia, full gear, helmet, M16, 9mm pistol, and they're telling us we don't know what's going to be out there. Be prepared for anything. That right there brings your faith out. It really does. And I had always wondered what it would have been like because I missed the draft in Vietnam, and I always wondered what it was being like. I had a cousin who served in Vietnam and had some rough times, and it was years and years and years before he would talk about it. So anyway, so we got out, we got there, everything was fine, but we spent the next, 2 months moving around the desert in Kuwait, digging holes in the sand, trying to stay wet, so trying to stay dry and keep from the rain and not knowing what's going to go on. So February, I believe 26th, is when they had started bombing, and we'd see planes coming over and all this stuff. About February the 26th, we had to mount up to go across into the lines, to breach the lines. Didn't know what was going on. Had this mop gear. They were scaring us to death with mustard gas issues and worrying about being gassed and everything. So we as the truck pulls in to an area, we start getting live rounds starts coming in. I'm sitting on a 6x truck, 50 caliber machine gun. So I'm sitting there on it, and all of a sudden these rounds starts blowing up. The sand starts blowing up. I said, guys, that's incoming. No, Doc, don't worry about it. That's us. I said, no, let's get out. And so we look like ants, getting out of the truck, getting on the ground. I'm laying there on the ground. There's incoming rounds. Charlotte had given me this little book called Charlotte the Butterfly. She started out with a caterpillar. But, caterpillars have a rough life, but they turn into beautiful butterflies. I'm laying there on the ground. I'm thinking, where's one of them holes I've been digging for the last 2 months, you know? So I'm laying there on the ground, and I'm thinking, well, should I put my arm straight out like that so I only lose an arm or a leg? Or should I ball up in a ball? It'd be hard to target to miss. Lord, what should I do here? What's going on? And I had my unit one. I put my head on my unit one. I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, these two little butterflies come. Messed me up there. And it was like the Lord said, you'll be with her again. Don't worry. You'll be okay. Have faith. Because Charlotte the Butterfly was about faith. So anyway, leave it to the military, the powers that be. First of all, let me stick this in there real quick. I don't really care about the king. We know who the king is. And king's always trying to run the countries and politics. We got our own king. Amen. So they didn't have enough trucks to carry everybody. So for some crazy, they had to run ammo and all up the front lines and stuff. So myself, 33 other Marines, a chief naval corpsman, and one officer got left behind. And we're out in the desert, left behind. You don't know what it feels like to be sitting out there in the Saudi Arabian or the Kuwait desert, stars everywhere. I'm out there with my headphones on, worshiping the Lord in his holy land. it was just amazing. It was just something. God was there with us. But make the long story short, we finally, somebody found us, and they brought us up to this group. Says, look, we got to move on up. There's a group of MPs. We got 3,600 prisoners here. We want y'all to take over them. We don't even have but one Jeep. So next thing I find myself working in, I was in the medical field, so I had worked in emergency rooms, yada, yada. So I started just witnessing to the doctor, and there was an Iraqi doctor there, and just doing whatever God brought up or whatever. Come time to leave, they put us on a, they had a group traveling in every kind of vehicle in the world. Got us back to our unit. They thought we were dead. They thought we were lost. We were lost in action, had been filed, and were supposed to have been gone. I'm like, no way. We got to get back. Plus, I hadn't told you this. We had reservations to go to Disney World in April. I'm telling people, well, I'm going to Disney World with my family, my wife. We're going to No, you're not going to be back. I said, yes, I am. I got faith. I read the little book, the butterfly book. And so, anyway, let me get moving this. So, after the whole thing was over, if you know anything about the war there in Iraq, it was over real quick. They had 500,000 troops in an area where they only needed about 50 because the Iraqi soldiers were putting their hands up and giving up because we were giving them MREs. There's like Saddam Hussein just has deserted us. We like you guys. It was just crazy. So everything's calmed down. I'm at one of the back camps. We're packing up stuff and inventorying gear and stuff. I had orders to Newfoundland, Canada before I even came to Kuwait. As a preventive, I had specialized in preventive medicine, so this was my next duty station, was in Newfoundland, Canada, as a preventive med tech. So my administrative office, they knew I had these orders, and I talked to them, and I said, you know, what can I do? He says, well, look, Doc, I'll tell you what you can do. We got some guys going over sometimes emergency leave to go home. You can go over to the tarmac where the airports are over there and stay over there. It might take you a month or whatever, and you'll have to sleep outside, but you can hang out, and maybe you can get on a plane back to the States. I said, okay, I'll take it, no problem. Lo and behold, that afternoon, they come, you get stuff ready. You got 15 minutes to be up here, and you're going. I jumped on the truck. There's three other guys going to emergency leave, going on the way home. So I said, well, I'll get to the tarmac. We got over there, and there was people everywhere. There was Marines everywhere. All you could see was green, just thousands of green waiting to get it, fly on a plane. We pull up, and I say, Lord, just whatever you want, Lord, I'm here for you, whatever. We pull up, walk inside, the guy's stamping papers, emergency leave, emergency leave, emergency leave. I said, well, I'm not emergency leave. He said, emergency leave, emergency leave. It's like that. I was on the plane, walked right through the building, got on the plane, sat down. Ready to go. Then the stewardess says, well, I hear they're giving away fully paid trips to Jamaica from the Jamaican Tourist Board. Well, Charlotte had done some time, and well, not done time, but she had worked in Jamaica in Peace Corps. So I just relayed that message to her. Boy, before you know it, she had a fax and had that woman send it. We got a full paid trip in Jamaica. Everything paid, 5-star hotel. They had restaurants everywhere. The food was unreal. And we made it to Disney World. It was just crazy. The Lord was just blessing me. You know, I flew back to the States, wound up in California. Middle of the night, the guy just said, here's a ticket, go home. And I just came home, and everybody was so grateful. And I'm thinking, I didn't do anything. I've just been alone for the ride. I hadn't done anything. Because I kept thinking about Vietnam and how the guys were treated. Oh, my gosh. It was just unreal. But I guess the moral of my story is faith in God. God is the one taking control. If you just let him do it, you have to let him be God in your life. You can't just struggle and struggle and struggle and trying to do it yourself. I was a rambunctious little boy, and he's had a hard time with me, but I'm still following him around. Still following him around. So I think I'm running over my time, so let me read this one scripture. God, when I first got saved, this was in the first tour, I went to a church, and grew up in church as a kid. Well, I went in church. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I went into this Assembly of God church, and they were all praising God, had their hands in the air, praising the Lord. I said, well, I can't praise the Lord about that, but I can praise him that they're praising him. So I started praising the Lord, that those people were praising the Lord. Oh, my land, the Holy Spirit got on me, and just, I can feel it right now. He let me know right quick who he was. So he gave me this verse. Ezekiel, he said, then he said to me, son of man, Ezekiel chapter 3. You got to have scripture if you're going to speak at church, right? Okay. Son of man, eat what you find, eat the scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll, and he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. All right. So who likes honey? All right. You have not because you asked not.
Oh, my goodness. Great job. Great job. Charlotte, man, you're going to have to talk about doing time. Learned a lot today. Great job. Thank you. Thank you, William, for your service, your 18 years and I know you've got plenty of stories. I really do. The next person I'm going to introduce is Reverend and Elder Doug Logan. He served this country in the United States Army. He served in Vietnam War, where he was awarded the third highest personal decoration, the Silver Star, for his bravery and heroic behavior in combat. And Doug, come on up. As he comes up, I want to say this. We'll do that in just a moment. But one thing I know he won't share is I knew him 10 years before I ever knew he had a Silver Star. He just wasn't one of those things to boast and all that kind of stuff. And he's still a very humble man. But one of the little tidbits of his service was he thought he was in trouble when they called him up, and he showed up and he thought he was in trouble, and that's when they actually awarded him the Silver Star. And then once he was awarded that, they sent him to Saigon. I think it was Saigon, at the command post, and they put him there, and this man. Began to see the body bags that were coming in, and it just gripped his heart, and he had a longing to be back with his brothers in combat. So he asked to go back to the field, and they granted that wish and sent him back. He's a wonderful man. He really is. Doug Logan.
I'm gonna try to do this. Don't make me cry. All right. Being a Vietnam veteran, I was in the military from 1966 to 1969, and I learned a lot of things in basic training that most people that have been in basic training learn. They learn how to get along with one another. I remember a guy calling one of the black guys the N-word. And that was the biggest mistake that he'd ever made. Because after then, nobody wanted to say it, not even a black person wanted to say it. Because it put us on the ground crawling through sand for about 2 days, just scraping that sand trying to make it far from here to the highway. It was tough. I trained up in Fort Bragg. I left Fort Bragg and I went to Fort Jackson. And I began to learn a few more things. We was doing combat training. And you don't know what you're going to face when you get to Vietnam. You have no idea. All you know is that you're here in the United States running around in the woods, shooting blanks and throwing grenades and things. But when you get to Vietnam, it's a whole different story. I want to take just a moment from that to tell you this right here. I was back here in this country 40 years before I let anybody hardly know that I was a Vietnam veteran. Because when I came back from Vietnam, I didn't get a pleasant welcome. They had to secretly get me on a bus, not only me, but other guys, with dark windows, and take us to a place and take us out of the uniform, put us in a blue or black or any kind of suit, put you on a plane separately and get you out of there, then let you fly home. There was rocks being thrown, bottles being thrown, tomatoes, whatever they could throw at the bus. They couldn't even see it. They were still throwing them at the bus. And welcome, Dwayne. Thank you for coming this morning. But God had a plan. God had a plan for my life when I went to Vietnam. It was tough. I mean, I'm not going to tell you, being under fire, being shot at every day, being grenades being shot, I can always remember the planes when we was in the jungle, and I don't even know how they didn't kill us all. Because you would have bombers flying over, dropping bombs. You would have helicopters shooting rockets. You would have dough gunners shooting M60s, and you was down there in the jungle. And you would hear all kind of bushes cracking and shooting going on. Then the enemy would be shooting you from this way and that way. And it was just, and I'm amazed that I'm back here today. I am amazed. I really, the biggest story that I'll tell you, this right here, and I won't tell a lot of stories that happened in Vietnam, but the biggest story that I'll tell you this morning is I hated it when I had a new soldier, after I'd been there for 6 or 7 months, a new soldier to come in, and he didn't even have time to write his mother a letter and tell her that they arrived in Vietnam before he was dead. I hated to see that picture. They would wrap him up in a poncho, put him on a helicopter, and send him back home, ship him back to the United States. I hated to see that picture. I was awarded a Silver Star. We had been fighting all day we got the first man shot. He was a black guy. And I went over to him, and he had such a big hole in him. And the medic was trying to do what he could do for him. And we was trying to enter this area, which was a jungle, and we were trapped out in a open rice paddy. And I can remember the scene that I walked away from him, and I know that he wouldn't make it because the hole was too big. He was bleeding too much. But they had a helicopter, a medevac, to come in, pick him up, and left, and we continued to fight from 2 o'clock that day to over in the morning. We were still fighting. We was at helicopters. I tell you, they shot down helicopters. All kind of thing was going on around us. That's why I tell you I'm amazed that I'm alive. I had to go from here to the highway right there. The captain had, we started out with 105 guys, and within hours, we didn't have but maybe 70. The rest of them was killed or wounded. And we was fighting, and they had to send out a forward, when it was changed, we sent out a forward position of 5 men to try to see how far they was out there. But the 5 men got out there, and they got shot up, and most of them, we thought all of them got killed, but the radio was with them, and the captain came to me, and he said, "Logan, I want you to go get that radio." I'm scared like nobody had ever recognized how scared I was. I don't know how bad I was trembling, but he said, you don't need to carry a weapon because you cannot run that fast with a weapon. So I'm running into enemy territory without a weapon because I got to go get this radio, because if they get the radio, they will jam us up and they will create a hazard out there for us. It was over in the night. I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning by then. I go out to get this radio and I run out there. But when I get out there, there was one soldier that was wounded bad. And I got to, I weighed about 160 pounds, I guess, 165. But there was a soldier that was wounded bad, and he had shot up. I could tell he was shot up real bad, but he said, Logan, get me out of here. But I said, oh, I don't know if I can carry a 40-pound radio. But I don't know how you have that strength that comes into you when fear and everything else set into you. But I picked up that radio and I put that man in a fireman carrier, threw him across my shoulder. And I can never tell you how fast I was running. This one soldier that come to visit me from time to time, he said, you really can run with a lot of weight on you. His name is Rainbow. He's been here before to see me on several occasions. But I ran with him and I got him out of there. I had no idea. I got him back. I got the radio back and we got started up again. And I ran and got in my foxhole. I always tell my wife that me and a couple guys was in that foxhole, and we only dug that foxhole knee-deep. By morning, I could barely see out of it. We kept digging during the night. We would fight and dig till we got that foxhole up to you. I tell you, you'll need a good foxhole when you're fighting. You'll need a good foxhole, but I tell you that I am back here by the grace and mercy of God. I am back in this country, and I don't... I have forgiven all of those people that throw rocks and things because I let that just go away. I just come back to this country, hid out in this country, and kept within me all the things that was taking place with me. I had no idea I had post-traumatic stress, and I was... all kind of things was going on. My wife didn't know I had post-traumatic stress. Nobody knew I had it. I tried to carry it, and I tried to hide it by doing alcohol and drugs and anything. I tried to get rid of it, but it didn't go away. But praise be to God. God caused me to meet a man that could tell me, by the grace of God, you need Jesus. Jesus. I wasn't raised up in the church. I didn't go to church. There wasn't even a church in my neighborhood. But praise be to God, he was able, after a couple of weeks, he witnessed to me and told me about the saving grace of God. Changed my life forever. Yeah. I had no idea that this woman right here would stay with me 51 years now and continue to deal with me. Through all of my changes, she kept pressing and kept pressing, and God began to change me. I see my children. I see Dwayne here today, saved by the grace and mercy of God. I got 5 grandchildren that came yesterday to celebrate a birthday with us, saved and know Jesus because God, that man touched my life. If you want to be free, I'm going to tell you, free from Vietnam, free from post-traumatic stress, free from all the things that were troubling me. If you got something that's troubling you, I'm going to tell you, if you want to be free, you meet Jesus and you meet him in the right way. I keep putting myself to that. I don't have to hold on to anything else. I don't have to hold on to the past. The past is gone from me. Vietnam is gone from me. I don't need it anymore. Here to enjoy the pleasure of you that I come to church with and the people that I meet along the way. I want to tell you this right here. I want to honor Terry for being the first person that encouraged me by him calling up all the veterans like he did this morning and honoring the veterans, because nobody had ever done that at no time since I've been from Vietnam. No church I've ever been in, no nothing that I've ever been in, nobody had called or recognized a veteran. Nobody. When I 10 years ago, I think it was 10 years ago, you said recognize the veterans, and then somebody was talking about that. Well, Doug earned a Silver Star in Vietnam. That Silver Star was hid away. It did not become important to me until I never even wore a veteran hat until 10 years ago. It's amazing that this country, I'm going to tell you this and I'm going to close. This country is important to me. This country, I have been in 7 different countries. There is no greater country than the United States. When I see people that are talking about this country and hate this country, I say, go away from it. Go someplace else, and I'll tell you, you will find out that it's not good there. You might think it's good there, but you can go to Jamaica or someplace, I guess. But that ain't out of the country. I want to show you what out of the country is. Go to Russia. Go to Germany. Go to Europe. Go to Vietnam. Go, I'll tell you, those people in Vietnam have more freedom now than they ever have since we went over and fought. Most people think, well, we lost the war. We didn't lose, we won some people some freedom. They even can come to the United States now. Matter of fact, even the North Vietnamese, I told my wife I was down in Chesney, South Carolina, and I saw this Vietnamese, and I started to talk to him a little bit. I have some Vietnamese language still in me, and I started to talk to him, and I found out he's from North Vietnam. But he was here in our country bragging about they defeated us. I said, you know, that probably would have made some soldiers mad, but it didn't make me mad. But I told him, I recognized, I said, but you got freedom now. He said, yeah, I got. So you got freedom now. If you want freedom, you got it. But if you want more freedom, you turn to Jesus. If you want more freedom, you turn to Jesus. Terry, thank you for this time. Thank you for listening to me this morning. And I praise God for all that he's done for me through the years and brought me to where I am today. I praise him highly for, because if it wasn't for him, I could be dead. Thank you for your time.
If you'll give me just a few more minutes, I know we're running a little bit over, but they're worth it. Amen. Dwayne, the reason he recognized Dwayne, that's his son. And Dwayne, I want you to come on up. I'm going to let you speak. I'm not going to let you speak. So, you, no, thank you. You can just turn to them. We want to recognize you as a veteran as well. You just... Thank you for your service. Thank you.
Love you, Pastor.
Love you, too. All right. I have enjoyed today. I hope you have. It's been good. We want to say thank you, Lisa Barrett. She's probably watching. She is... doing, she'd love to have been here. She's over our military ministry. She started this about a few years ago, and she does a great job of helping us see the need and get supplies and stuff to our military soldiers and all. And but she's doing something much more important. She is there with her family as her daughter has birthed a little boy, Luca Beam. So congratulations, Lisa. We wish you were here, and we want to thank you for your service and doing this for us as well. Never lose your ability to honor others. Because if we lose the ability to honor, we will become an entitled people. So we have to stay humble. Because humility comes before honor. If you want to be able to honor people, you have to be a humble person because you're recognizing others. But thank you so much for honoring these veterans and continue to do that. I know Veterans Day is on the 11th of November. Celebrate. Call somebody that you know that served and just tell them how grateful you are. There's a couple of people that long ago connected in my life that I usually call. One has dementia now, so I doubt if he'll be able to know who I am, but never lose the ability to honor. So our first honor goes to God, because without him, there is no freedom anywhere. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ sets you free. He opened the door, let us out of darkness into his marvelous light so we could, through that marvelous light, understand what freedom really is. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet as we close. And thank you again, veterans. We're just so glad to have you. And thank you for your service. We honor you for your service. And we just appreciate you being here with us. And we appreciate this house giving honor to these guys. And we just love each and every one of you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love toward us, even while we were yet sinners. You demonstrated your love by giving your only Son, that we may have life and have it abundantly. We thank you for these men and women that have served our country so bravely. And we thank you, God, that as we come to you, we come to you as the one true God, and we ask you to have mercy on this land. And Lord, we ask you to direct our leaders to your footsteps, your feet, your life, your freedom. Bless our leaders. Bless them, Lord, with your presence. Awaken them to who you are. And allow them to accept you as their Savior and their Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. And we have Terry.
There's copies of the printout if you want them at the information center right there. So just go back and get. And we also, if you have little ones online, make sure you go to fathersvineyard.org and your lessons are there if you're online in the streaming process.
Amen. God bless you. You're free to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.